Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Aw, I love learning. Don't know about the other two bits. Here with me today for Ready, Steady, Learn, I have Professor Mark Costello, who is a professor at the Institute of Marine Science at the University of Auckland. Morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How
Sarah,
are you?
How are you? I'm great. Thank you.
We were talking about doing karaoke before, but we may or may not break into song later on, depending how happy we feel. Now, Mark is one of three Mark is one of three speakers at the fifth lecture in the university's winter lecture series. You can see Mark speak tomorrow at 12:30. What is your talk about?
Well, there's actually three of us talking.
Mm-hmm.
All Islanders. I'm originally from Ireland. We're all New Zealanders. We have a Samoan and a Maori New Zealander. And we're talking about what the oceans could be like in 2030. As part of the theme of the winter lecture series.
Right, so if we are to believe most of the information we have at present, what the oceans might be like in 2030 is dead, right?
Yes, there's some not very optimistic things out there. But at a top level internationally, the United Nations Law of the Sea, the Convention on Biological Diversity, the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, they all agree we should sustainably use the oceans. But we're failing.
Yes, we are.
Yes,
we're failing for reasons of pollution,
overfishing.
Yeah.
So at least all these things are manageable. And what all three of the lecturers tomorrow speak on the Marine Protected Areas course, which I coordinate this semester here. And one of the common themes that comes through in our talk is that Dan talks about the Maori perspective and kinship, relationship with nature and more respect for nature, more caring nature. Sue Tai runs Conservation International's islands programs in the Pacific Islands. And they've had amazing, they've flipped the conventional management model. So at present, the management model in the oceans is do what you want until somebody tells you to stop.
This is worldwide?
Worldwide. And particularly in the high seas, away from the coast, people get away with all sorts of things.
Don't ask permission, just say sorry later.
Exactly. Well, they don't even say sorry.
Yeah.
They just say, oh, you let us do it.
Yeah, good point.
It wasn't illegal. But what the Pacific Islands have done is they've said their entire exclusive economic zone, that's 200 nautical miles away from their nearest land, piece of coast, is a marine protected area. So if you want to do anything there, you have to get permission. So they flipped the conventional management model. So that means if you want to get permission, the first criteria they would use, will this compromise our future food security for our people? And if what you're doing does, like mass commercial fishing and damaging of habitats using seabed trawling, then that won't be permitted. But if you have a small take of tuna or something, then that would probably be fine. So this kind of makes common sense in hindsight, but it's not the way the world has been operating today in the oceans.
And it's not making things completely off-limit. It is saying if we deem your usage to be sustainable, yes, we are going to allow it.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It means you could have seabed mining. You could have any types of things that are deemed to be appropriate in a particular place that will not cause irreversible damage to the oceans. So you never know.
So it is possible to keep gleaning resources from the ocean. We haven't taken it to the point of no return just yet.
Not yet in the ocean. And on land we have in some places, you know, lots of species have gone extinct, but extinctions in the oceans are less than 10 species gone extinct so far, but many others are on the trajectory to extinction. And often that's not because of deliberate, that's just because of accidental bycatch and fishing gear and things. Yeah.
So what are some of the things apart from, you know, a governmental level, making these circles around bodies of land saying you have to ask permission if you want to do something? What are other things that we can be doing to ensure the future of our oceans?
Well, one of the first things is that there's a great program called Experiencing Marine Reserves, run by many of the graduates in this university and others. So this is educating children at an early age and educating society, because it's when society agree as a collective that, you know, it's just bad practice to throw your plastic in the ocean and everything, then it'll become the norm. And we're moving towards that norm already. I mean, you can see it in many areas of recycling and other human behaviours that we're behaving a little bit respectfully.
Will you be having a three cheers on Wednesday at lunchtime for the... well, I mean, it's not completely banned yet, but the phasing out of the single-use plastic bag?
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, I'll suggest that. Should we have three cheers for... Maybe next week it'll be banned, will it? When is the date?
There was an announcement at the end of last week. Jacinda Ardern, she was saying it's a one-year phase-out period, I believe.
So we have to wait a year before we cheer?
Possibly. You can do like a week cheers.
We can do practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Karaoke cheers.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. So if people wish to get along and hear you speak, along with two of your colleagues, about what the oceans will look like, and is it 2030?
Yeah, we just picked that date because date's too soon. People might ask for us for a detailed plan. But if you have a date far enough away, you know, you can work out the plan
you
as you go along.
You can fudge it a little bit. Sure. Well, it's nice to hear somebody talking about our oceans with a bit of positivity. It's lovely. And I have a track that you requested. Is there any particular reason you picked this track?
It's just very optimistic and lovely song. I love to play it sometimes in the airplanes or landing, you know, in that bumpy bit. And you just put the headphones on and you say, it's a wonderful world as the plane bounces around. Anyway, that's just one of my strange things.
I love it. This is the request of Professor Mark Costello. This is Louis Armstrong's version of What a Wonderful World.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
If you would like to hear... If you would like to hear Professor Mark Costello talk about the wonderful deep blue world, he and two other speakers, colleagues at the University of Auckland from the Institute of Marine Science, will be speaking tomorrow at 12:30. That's part of the winter lecture series. You can find out more about that at auckland.ac.nz.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.